Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The Jeopardy answer is, he is the temporary head of the controversial new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Consumers deserve to have someone who will stand on their side, who will protect them against fraud, and who will ensure that they're treated fairly in the financial marketplace.
Who is Richard Cordray? That's right, for $200. It's been a busy few weeks for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Now that it exists and has a director, Richard Cordray, who once was a Jeopardy champion and who we heard there. Since a controversial recess appointment by President Obama on January 4th, the agency has announced it is opening investigations into payday lenders and non-bank mortgage lenders and has written a new rule on overseas wire transfers. With a director, the agency has finally been able to take the reins given to it by the Dodd-Frank financial overhaul law. What are they doing, and what should they be doing? Joining me now to talk about the priorities for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, now that it has a director, is Maya Jackson Randall. She's a financial reporter for Dow Jones Newswires and the Wall Street Journal in Washington, and she's been covering the new CFPB. Welcome to WNYC, Maya. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And let's get right to the agency's first moves. They seem to be targeting themselves right at mortgage practices. The first disclosed investigation is of the mortgage lender, PHH,
yeah,
over whether PHH led borrowers into using specific insurers for their mortgages. Walk us through what the agency is looking for here.
Well, this is just an example of what they're looking at. Their main focus now that they have a director is going to be on regulating non-bank lenders. So that means this kind of company. It also means payday lenders, student lenders, a lot of non-bank mortgage providers. And so they're just now setting up the framework for how they're going to regulate these companies. And they're also going to start up investigations, just like with the PHH case, and which they're going to see if some of these practices that these companies have been engaging in are not do not coincide with the newest consumer protection laws.
For people who don't know the term, what is a non-bank lender? Who other than a bank can issue a mortgage, for example?
There were thousands of banks, thousands of companies that aren't chartered as banks, and so they weren't regulated as closely. There are a couple of regulators that look at some of the nation's largest banks, but these smaller firms that aren't chartered as banks provide student loans, mortgages, a lot of different consumer loans, and for the first time, the CFPB will be looking at these kinds of loans.
And for those who are curious about how the agency will go about their investigations, there's some reading material that they're making available, the new Mortgage Origination Examination Procedures Guide, also released earlier this month, not yet a bestseller. I guess this is specifically for non-bank mortgage lenders and brokers. What would one see if one opened the covers of the Mortgage Origination Examination Procedures book?
You would see what banks are going to look at and what some of these non-bank companies are going to look at just to get ready. So their compliance offices are looking at these procedures to see exactly what's going to happen when the Consumer Bureau sends their examiners into their offices. So some of these companies are going to have Consumer Bureau examiners in their offices year-round. And so these procedures kind of lay out what the Bureau is going to be looking for, how they're going to judge these companies. And there's a new term that the Consumer Bureau can look at, and it's called abusive practices. So this kind of lays out exactly what falls into that category and what these examiners are going to be looking at.
They couldn't do this before. They needed a controversial Consumer Financial Protection Bureau bill in order to do this kind of investigation?
Well, the other regulators, they look at safety and soundness. So they look at the health of the banks and the health of the financial system. This is the first agency that actually looks at just the consumer protection laws and whether or not companies are following practices that won't hurt consumers, you know, not engaging in practices that are fraudulent. The other regulators really just look at whether or not banks are engaging in practices that could hurt the bank and could hurt the financial system.
Now, listeners, we are opening our phones, especially for those of you who have experience with mortgages from non-bank lenders or with payday loans. If you've ever taken out a payday loan, what happened? And did you know that regular banks sometimes give payday loans too? It's not just these fly-by-night storefronts. in low-income neighborhoods. Wells Fargo gives payday loans. Other banks give payday loans. What kind of information do you wish you had gotten from the lender? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you've ever taken out a payday loan or have experience with mortgages from non-bank lenders, or anything else that you would want to ask our guest from the Wall Street Journal about the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or suggest that they do. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show. Here's another thing they do that you might call in about. The agency also has a new rule about overseas wire transfers, which requires that consumers be told what the exchange rates are and what the fees are for each transfer. So if you frequently send remittances to your home country, you can also give us a call and tell us how this rule might change how you send money home, for better or for worse. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. These are the first issues getting the attention of the new Financial Consumer Protection Agency, and we want to hear how they affect your life or could have affected your life if they were in effect early enough. 212-433-9692. So Maya, maybe you can talk for a minute about that last thing. The wire transfers, the rules for people who send remittances to their home countries after they immigrate here?
Yeah, there were a lot of concerns as lawmakers were drafting the Dodd-Frank law that created the Consumer Bureau, that one area that needed greater regulation was wire transfers, which are used a lot to send money abroad. Some civil rights groups and consumer groups see this as an area that was largely overlooked, and so, you know, consumers wouldn't know what fees they would need to pay, and they wouldn't know exactly how much the person on the other end would get, and they were hit with last-minute charges. And so this is one of the many areas the Consumer Bureau is looking at. They've done some research on it, and on Friday they just came out with their first rule, which basically requires companies like Western Union and others to disclose fees up front. Consumers will get a receipt. A lot of these things hadn't happened before, and now the Bureau is going to actually require companies to do these kinds of disclosures.
Let's take a phone call. Here is Nadira in East Orange. Nadira, you're on WNYC. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Hi, yes. How are you? Yes, I have a question. If I was a victim of any kind of mortgage fraud in the past, how would I contact the agency for any assistance? Or is there a statute of limitations as far as you've been a victim of any kind of mortgage fraud from one of these non-bank lenders?
What kind of mortgage fraud do you think you might have been the victim of? What'd they do?
They fraudulently appraised the property so that when I took out the loan, it was higher than the actual value of the home.
Maya Jackson Randall, have you heard stories like this before, and is it something that the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau might deal with?
Yeah, and I'm sure the Consumer Bureau has heard a lot of stories like this before. And your best bet is probably to go to consumerfinance.gov, and that's where the Consumer Bureau has its new complaint system. And so they're actually taking these kind of complaints about mortgages and also credit cards, and they're helping people get to the right people, whether it's at the company that they're complaining about or to the right regulator. So they'd be a good place for you to start.
So it's consumerfinance.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Nadir, good luck.
Problem.
Mark in Plainview, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you listeners and you about the nightmare that I had with one of these online payday loans that I got.
What happened?
Well, I was in a bit of a situation where I needed one, and so I applied for it and got it. It was not a problem, but this was a couple years ago. I don't know if they've changed since then, but apparently there's a little clause in there where the company that you requested through, they're allowed to sell all your information to other companies.
Mm.
And I ended up having 9 payday loan companies put money into my checking account and then start withdrawing the interest charges and payments automatically right out of my account without me even knowing about it. And it took about 3 weeks before I started seeing it, and by then it was just this huge, gigantic snowball that was out of control, and it had to go through the bank fraud department, and it was just a huge nightmare. And it was, thousands of dollars just instantly taken out of my account without me even knowing about it. And the original payday loan was taken care of without a problem and paid, but it's all these little residual ones that just caused a huge problem.
What a horror show. Maya, could the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau deal with things like that?
Yeah, and they actually had their first field hearing last week, Thursday, in Alabama, and they talked a lot about payday lending. And Richard Cordray, the director himself, talked about this exact thing, which is these automatic deductions and withdrawals that are being taken out of people's accounts without them knowing about it after they've signed up for a payday loan. So, exactly what you're talking about is what the Bureau is going to be looking at.
And, of course, payday loans are these high-interest loans designed to get people just beyond the hump before their next paycheck. And as I said earlier, we often associate these kinds of lenders with the storefront companies. But Cordray, the new head of the CFPB, doesn't seem to be making a distinction between storefront lenders and the actual banking industry,
right?
Big institutions like Wells Fargo and U.S. Bank. So here's a clip of Cordray last week in Alabama talking about payday lending.
Today, payday loans are readily available online, and in many areas in storefronts, even in strip malls. Some traditional banks are now offering a similar product called a deposit advance or by similar rubric.
So this is exactly what our last caller's story brought to mind, because he said it was an online payday loan. So what's the distinction or lack of distinction there, Maya?
There are online payday loans, there are storefront payday lenders, and there are also a handful of banks that offer payday loans. And so they don't exactly call them payday loans. They're called direct deposit or cash advances, but they operate in the same way, which means you can get your cash immediately, and then the amount is deducted a couple weeks later from your account. And so what the Consumer Bureau and what Cordray said last week was that they're going to be looking at all these products in the same way, and they'll be regulated in the same way. Now, online is a little bit different. Even storefront payday lenders are asking for greater regulation of the online lenders, just because they don't even – a lot of those kind of companies aren't regulated at the state level. And so some of the bigger payday lenders are hoping the Consumer Bureau starts with those kind of companies, which is exactly what the caller was talking about. So, there's a little bit of a difference between all three of them, but what's interesting is that the Bureau is going to be looking at all three categories in the same way as they supervise and regulate these products.
Ted in Trenton, you're on WNYC. Hello, hello, Ted. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
So you send money back to the country?
Very frequently to Nigeria, for the most part, using Western Union.
Uh-huh.
And basically, the storefront owners would usually not tell you precisely if they're sending it for you to, for the recipient to get it either in U.S. dollars or in the local currency. Now, usually they would send it for the money to be received in the local currency, and by so doing, Western Union would force their exchange rate on you. Now, by the time you call Western Union and try to change that so that the recipient gets it in dollars, what happens is they tell you, they got to cancel the transaction. They pass you through this whole long process where sometimes you could even lose the fees for sending the money. But the bottom line is, when they do send it, even if you agree for them to send this money in the local currency, what happens is Western Union uses their own exchange rate, which is light years away from what the actual market exchange rates are, cutting off some amount of money from. Now, usually when this money is sent, we're talking people not making too much money living in the U.S., sending money to family members in dire situations. And Western Union just keeps living off of these people.
That's really interesting, Ted. And Maya Jackson Randall, I'm not sure from what I've read that the CFPB could even do anything about that. I think they're just regulating remittances for disclosure of what the exchange rates and the fees would be. Would they get involved if they thought that Western Union might be gouging people like Ted?
You know, that's not, it's not clear at this point. I mean, they might, and they'd be a good place to start just to kind of ask the question. What they are doing is more focused on transparency. And so, yeah, helping consumers up front be able to go from place to find the best deal. So, I mean, at least now you'd be able to see that exchange rate and those fees and take that to the next place and compare it, and so that you won't be hit, you know, after the fact with a hidden charge. So, but that's a good question. I'm not sure, based on the rule that they just put out Friday, if they'll actually regulate the exchange rate. I think that they'll let the companies set their rates, but they'll have to disclose those fees up front to give consumers the option of picking and choosing where they want to go.
Ted, good luck, and please call us again. My guest on WNYC, Maya Jackson Randall, financial reporter for The Wall Street Journal and Dow Jones Newswire. So we're almost out of time talking about the first days of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, brainchild of Elizabeth Warren, created by Congress under Dodd-Frank, now being run by Richard Cordray, who President Obama had to shove in there as a recess appointment because the Republicans were so opposed to the existence of the agency that they wouldn't confirm anyone as its head. So here's one more clip, because the agency has also started a Know Before You Owe campaign, and President Obama described a hotline the agency has set up under Cordray.
His job will be to make sure that you've got all the information you need to make important financial decisions. Right away, he'll start working to make sure millions of Americans are treated fairly by mortgage brokers and payday lenders and debt collectors. In fact, just this week, his agency is opening up a simple 1-800 number that you can call to make sure you're getting a fair deal on your mortgage, and hold banks and brokers accountable if you're not.
So, Maya, before you go, the recess appointment of Cordray as director until the end of 2013 leaves him in this kind of temporary position. People in the media will keep referring to him as the embattled director of the controversial agency. I'm sure we'll hear President Obama touting him and touting this in the State of the Union address tomorrow. But is there anything that we've discussed here so far that Republicans are really opposed to? We've heard the callers from all over the metro area with their, you know, horror stories and tales of woe about how they've been treated by payday lenders and non-bank mortgage lenders and money remitters to overseas. Are Republicans in Congress howling?
No, not in that way. And that's what, you know, Cordray has said himself, is that he's hoping that as the Bureau gets going, that some of the Bureau's opponents would kind of see that they're on the same page, and they want to, they're fighting for the same things, and their constituents are consumers who would want, who would be helped by the Bureau. But the Republicans' concerns aren't really about what the Bureau is doing, it's the structure of the Bureau. So they're concerned about the Bureau being led by one director instead of a commission like the Federal Trade Commission or the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp, which regulates banks. So, I mean, their concern is not what the Bureau is doing, but just how it's been set up and the funding. And, you know, while we have all these battles about the debt and the federal budget, the CFPB is right in the middle of all that. And so that's more the concern there. It's not really what the Bureau is doing to help consumers.
There you go, listeners. You have an idea now of what the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is doing under its new and first head, Richard Cordray. Maya Jackson Randall reports for the Dow Jones Newswires and the Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, will the president talk about mass transit in his State of the Union address? A very important topic to the New York metro area, but not one that leave his lips very often. We'll see what he said about mass transit and what he might say about it tomorrow night. See what he said about it in 2011 and what he might say about it tomorrow night in a minute.